too loud? Well, y'all excuse me. I had to cut grass today, and I've been allergic to that stuff my whole life. And it has got me today. My nose is running. My throat is about closed up on me, but we're going to get through it. I've got two bottles of water, so we're going to get through it. But anyway, if you got your Bibles, go ahead and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and that's where I want to start. But first, I just want to kind of let you know where my thought is tonight, what God has put on my heart for us, and that I hope it's a help. That's been my prayer since Brother Ken asked me to do this, was that God would give me something that would enable me to help somebody tonight. It may just be for me. Brother Ken's preached that it may just be for me, but if it's not, and I hope it's not, I hope it helps someone. I hope it encourages you. What I want us to look at tonight is comfort in the storms. We're going to go through those battles in our life, and there's going to be trials, and there's going to be tribulations that come our way. And I want us to know that there's comfort. This word tells us that God's comfort. He'll see us through to the other side. Those trials are going to come in our lives. That's a guarantee. And I've been saved now for a little over 5 years in March. And I've went through, not had a lot of life's troubles, but I've had some spiritual troubles. Had some of those battles. Brother Mike, it's hurt a little bit. Not too long ago, just a few months ago, I went through probably the worst, well, I know it was, the worst battle that I've been through in my walk. But I'm glad that I've got enough, put in the bank, that I know that God's going to see me through to the other side. He's going to help each and every one of us when those times come in our lives. If they haven't, they will. I want to talk about that a little bit. I want to talk about the reasons to keep going when it's so easy to quit. We're saved, those of us that's been saved, and we go through those things, and we could easily just throw it to the side and be done with it. I believe that once saved, always saved. And I could easily have just thrown it to the side and walked away, Brother Lee, and been done with it. But we've got so much more to fight for. This whole section right here is a reason for us to keep fighting, Brother Jamie. The generations to come, for these kids to have a church place to come, is a reason for me to keep fighting. When I get off in the ditch and I get down in that valley, Brother Lee, I've got a reason to keep going. I got a reason to keep fighting. I wanted to quit. Could have had 1,000 reasons why. But I don't want to. I hope tonight that I can encourage you. These trials and these tribulations that come, and they are, these struggles, when they come into our lives, I hope that here tonight that you can just take something from this that maybe, if you're in that storm, if you're in that trial, that you can use this to be encouraged by. Or I hope that somewhere down the road that you can draw from this, that you can remember this, that you can just have this to lean back on and look at it and say, I know God's real. I know His comfort. I know His promises. And I know what He can do for me. Just keep going. There's a reason to keep going. So let's look in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 3. It says, and this is Paul writing, and it's amazing to me at what he said, how he starts this out. He says, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. That's what I want us to look at and focus on for a little while tonight, is that comfort. Just remember that in those times, God's our comfort. It didn't say He was a comfort of just a few things. It says He was comfort of all. Every bit of it. From the beginning to the end, He's our comfort. It doesn't matter how big or small it is. He's still our comfort. It's amazing. Verse 4 says, "Who comforteth us in all our tribulations?" Same thing, Brother Lee. No matter how small, how big it is, it's all of it. "That we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." So we can look at that and we can tell right there that we're going to be comforted. We're going to be able to comfort those when they go through those troubles. So they're coming your way. If they have it, they're coming. "And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer, or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation." Verse 7 says, "And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation." Tonight I want you to think about that word. I just want it to be something that's in the thought tonight, that as we're going through this and I'm hoping to make some points that really stand out and make this real to us, so that we can see that there's a reason to keep going. We've got God's promises right here that tell us that He's going to do just that. So I just want that to be part of the thought as we go through this. And I'm grateful for His Word. I'm grateful for this Bible. I'm grateful for what it stands for. Grateful that it speaks to me. Grateful that I can hear the Word. More grateful that I can listen to the Word. So thankful for this Word. Brother Ken never realized how much it's alive. I thought about that when I was studying this, and how I believe it's the past, the present, and the future. There's nothing in this Bible that you can't find the answer for to help you in your life or in your family's life. There's nothing in here. You may not like what it says, but it'll help you down life's road. You may not like it, but it'll help you. So I heard a man say one time that we have to hear with our ears and listen with our heart. And I believe that's true every time we open up the Bible. It speaks to me, but I have to listen. I can open it up and I can read 5 chapters, close it, not remember anything. But if I can take 5 minutes and listen to it, then I can get help from my life. You can as well. So I had this thought. What if, looking around, just thinking, what if out of the hundreds, maybe thousands of sermons, teachings that you've probably heard, what if you could have taken one point from each sermon or each lesson and applied it to your life? What if you actually listened to what was being taught, what was being preached, and took it and applied it out in your life? How much better off would we be? How much better off would we be? I mean, really, think about that. I really, after studying this out, I really got to thinking about that. And I was listening to Brother Ken preach Sunday and morning, Brother Randy. And it's just amazing how if we can take something that just stands out and just jot it down, may just be that one thing. Just jot it down. It stands out. Just take that and go with it. Apply it. Try to remember it. Apply it in our lives each and every day. I wrote this down. What about how much better off would our relationship with Jesus be if we could do that? How much better off would our families be if we could do that? What about our homes? How much better off? How much harmony would they be if we could take these things and apply them in our lives? Our church. Church is very important. Church is very important to me. I need church. I need church. It's not a question for me. I got to have it. Because I know me. I know what I'm capable of. I was thinking this evening about the church a little bit more, and Brother Ken says it, and I just can't imagine people who don't have a church family. It's unimaginable now that where I've been in the last 5 years of my life to know what it's like to have a church family. When I can't, he can. And I got somebody that's praying for me. And I'm praying for you. And I'm hoping that when you can't, I can. So that maybe I can help you in this time that's coming. These troubles that may be in your life, I hope that I can help you. What about your job? How much better off would the people at your job be if you were aligned with Christ? If your goal every day was to align as closely to Christ as you could, and you walked that way every day, how much better off would the people at your work even be? I thought about that. What about the ones who you've maybe asked to come to church? You've invited them to revival because you come. Because you're here. Maybe they go through that storm. They're not a child of God. But they know that through your light, through the fruits of your labor, that they can come to you for that help in their life. I got some points in here about the effects of everything that we do. But I just can't imagine that Brother Mark had talked about a gentleman that was down low, and how just one phone call changed everything. It's unreal the effects that we can have in someone else's life. It's unreal to imagine that if we can affect that one person, how many other lives that affects that we don't ever know about. Think about those things next time you're sitting in a Sunday room class. A sermon is being preached. Think about what you can listen to and what you can draw from it. Because it's going to help you somewhere down the road. I believe it was Brother Adam that was preaching one night that was talking about being able to go back, and at some point in our life, we're going to have to make a withdrawal, Brother Will. We're going to have to be able to go to the bank. We're going to have to make a withdrawal. We better do all we can do while we've got the time to do it. So I want to talk about the church a little bit further and how important I think it is. I think about the churches I ride by and see a lot of the church signs, and through social media see some of the things that the churches are doing and the things that are being said and the things that are being taught, and think about the doctrine that's being taught. How sad that is. How sad that is where we're going. If we don't do our part, what's going to happen? Where are we going to be in 20 years? Where are we going to be in 30 years? And I wrote this number down and I said 40 years. Where are we going to be in 40 years? Where's the church going to be? That number, I thought about it, that number 40, because that's probably about all I've got left. If God allows it, I've probably got about 40 years of my life left. Where's the church going to be in 40 years? The doctrine is so watered down right now that's being taught to these children that they'll never know any difference, Brother Jamie. It's a shame to know what's going to happen in the next 20, 30 years in church. In 40 years. Guess what? When you've got those trials, you've got those afflictions in your life, got those tragedies, you still got a reason to keep going. That 40 years don't end with me. If God allows it, I've got children that's going to see twice that. If God allow it, they're going to be here 80 years. Where's the church going to be? We've got a lot to fight for. We've got a little time, short window to do it in. But if we quit, we've given up on not just the 40 years, not even just the 80 years. What about my children's children? That's a lineage of mine. That's my grandchildren, if God allows it. Where are they going to go to church? Got a lot of reasons not to quit. When you get in that ditch, just keep going. Just keep looking up. Just keep fighting. It's not over yet. It's not over yet. So we talked about a few things about our relationship with Christ, how it has an effect. Talked about our homes, our church, and our jobs. And the other night I was teaching the teens. Brother Adam had asked me if I would teach them, and we were talking about the same thing. We're talking about the effects. Talking about the effects of sin. Talking about, for them, we were looking at the peer pressure of this world. Brother Jonathan, I remember when we were teenagers. I remember the peer pressure. The decisions, some of those that I made, and I look at it now, 20-something years later, and I think about some of my friends and just what I introduced them to where they are today, because of the effect I had in their life. Not a good thing. Not always. Could be a good thing. But not always. So we're talking about those effects and how that it doesn't only affect not necessarily you. It doesn't always just affect you. There's going to be times where sin, the choices that we make in life, they're going to affect our families. They're going to affect our church. What we do now has an end. There's going to be a result, one way or the other. We're either going to be on that right path, in and out of the valleys, we're going to be on the dead-end street, taking our family, our generations and generations to come, to be affected by that. So what I'm saying is, be careful with what you do. But more than that, don't give up. When you think it's bad, just keep fighting. Just keep going. So, speaking of this, I want to get into, I just want to talk a little bit about where I've came from the last couple months. Just want to give you an example. I think this Bible is filled with experiences that we've been given to guide us, that we can learn from, that we can be encouraged from, that can help us. So I want to just see if I can relate with you just a little bit tonight. So several months ago, I went through, to me, the worst time in my life, spiritually. I was so defeated, so discouraged. I done put my Bible down, picked it up 3 times a week. Wednesday, Sunday morning, Sunday evening. Went home, put it back. Defeated, discouraged. It happens. I don't think there's anything wrong with getting there. I think there's only a problem when we choose to stay there. It's when we choose to stay there that the problem starts. Talking about the effects. How do you think that affected my relationship with Christ? My home and my job. I can tell you from experience that there was a suffering in all of those. With my walk, with my home, with my church, and with my job. My greatest fear is to come in this place, into a church, and be a spectator. It's one of my greatest fears is to come in here and sit down on a pew, and that be the end of my story. It's not what God asks of us. It's not what He commands of us. It's my greatest fear. We've all got our part to do. You may be in that spot. You may be in that dark place. You may be in that valley. I think we've got a lot of reasons to keep going. We can't quit. The storm that I went through, this battle that I've had in my life, may have been for one reason. Maybe the reason I'm here standing before you tonight is to tell you that God's not done with you. He's not through. If you still got breath, you've got life, God's not through with you. He's not done. You still got your part to do. Don't let the devil just keep on and on you. Because I'm going to tell you, when you get down and you get low, he'll just keep piling it on. He'll just keep that ditch washed out. So you stay there until he gets you off on the other side. When he gets you on that dead end road, you'll see an easy street coming. That's all right with him then, because he knows where he's got you. Don't listen to him. Preacher said it Sunday. He's a liar and he's the father of it. He'll tell us whatever it takes. It'll sound so good until that lasting effect happens. When that has run its course, and the devil has had his way, you'll look back and say, what could I have done different? Got a lot of choices to make. We could give up. We could throw in the towel. But I made this note on here that I inserted in this. as I was thinking about these storms and these trials that are in our lives that we're faced with. And I can look around here even this evening on Sundays, and there's a lot of you in here that's been saved longer than I've even been alive. And I bet it would be a safe bet I'm not the only one that's been through this trial, that's been through this storm. But as I look around and I think about those people, they're still here. They had a choice they could have made when those storms came. Could have threw it all to the side and said, I'm done. When their time had ended, still went to heaven. But what about the reasons and what God asks of us and what God commands of us? What are we to do now while we're here? God's not done with His part. If He was, we wouldn't be here. As long as the sun still rises, we've got our business to be about. I want to encourage you just a little bit, I hope. God's Word's something worth getting into. You'll find a lot of help in your life there. But you'll have to listen. You'll have to apply. The Bible says that through all these storms and all these trials, He'll never leave you nor forsake you. You can take that and put that in the bank. Because one day you're going to need to make that withdrawal. It may be something that simple. It may be that's that simple. What about those children downstairs? What if it's one thing that they can take away from this Vacation Bible School this week that they can put in their bank? We've got a reason to keep going, Brother Mike. We've got a reason to keep fighting. What if those children, somewhere in the next 5 to 10 years of their life, they hit that dark valley and they can remember that night in Vacation Bible School where they made something, they drew, colored something that says, God loves you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. What if? What if that happens in our children? Somebody downstairs is doing their part. Somebody hasn't quit just yet. So don't stay down. Get up, brush yourself off, climb out of the ditch, look towards heaven, and I'm going to tell you how to get some help for your life. Make sure that you're on a bending knee, calling out to the great Father that's created the heavens and the earth, knows the beginning and the end. Listen to Him. Don't just hear it. Listen to it. Get in His Word. I can imagine the rush of the families today. I know I've got a young family. And it's amazing what my wife can do. It's amazing at what that woman can do. Take a few minutes of your life. I promise it'll help you. Just listen to God's Word. It may not be but one or two verses, but just listen to what it has to say to you. It'll help you. Call on Him. Cry out to Him. He knows what our needs are. He can help us. We've got God's promises that tell me that I may be in a storm, and it may be for a period of time that I have no idea. When I think I'm all alone, He's the one carrying me. He's the one that's seeing me through when I don't even know He's there. He's been so good to me. Finishing up now, if you've got your Bible, turn over to 1 Peter, chapter number 5. And we want to read a few verses here. I want to read something too that I was reading after a writer. And Brother Ken's been preaching on Bible questions. And this gentleman, he asked this question. And I think it's a very good question with a very good answer. I like the answer just as much. He says, "Dear friend, is there any redeeming value in the struggles and losses you've experienced in your life?" He said, "Yes." Then he said, "They enable you to experience the Father of compassion and God of all grace." And this right here part was, I thought, was very important. "And to share with Him, and to share Him with those around you who are suffering also." We can get a lot of help if we're just willing to help ourselves. We can be a lot of help if we're willing to help ourselves. So in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6, I was reading after this writer, and he said, in these verses, Peter tells us three ways God enables us to reach the end of our suffering, to endure to the end. So I want to give you these three things. I'm going to read these verses, and I'll be through. Number one, he said, accepting God's purposes. And I thought that was pretty good. Sometimes we don't understand why we go through those trials. We don't have a clue why we're in those things. I had no idea why I had went to that place where I had went. But if we can accept God's purpose, know that He has a purpose for our life. Know that He has a reason for everything He does. So remember that, accepting God's purposes. You may not know exactly what the purpose is. Like I said, mine may be that so that I can stand here tonight and hopefully help somebody that's going through or going to go through that, and something that you'll have to draw back from. Number two, he said, resisting Satan's ploys. As I've said, that devil loves it when we get off in the ditch and he just starts piling it on and he starts clearing the way to keep you in that ditch. He don't want you to get back out. He wants you to keep going. Number three, he said, trusting God's promises. If we can just remember what God's promised us, it's worth the fight. It's worth the battle. We got to keep going. So let me read these verses and we'll be through. Verse 6 says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking who he may devour." Verse 9, "Who resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." Verse 10, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, After that ye have suffered a while, listen to this, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Verse 11, to Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Thank you for your attention.